so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Amen. I want to go to our scripture that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And Broderick, you don't have this, but as soon as we read this, I want you to go find it for me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. In the Amplified Version. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. Wow. Did everybody ever, you know, you ever read that scripture and go, really? Anybody ever feel like that you're not triumphing? But he causes us, he leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. Now, that says a mouthful. As trophies of God's victory, which means that he leads us and we are examples of God's victory. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, God, don't use me like that, because I ain't a very good example of victory. But that's what he does anyway. And through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Amen. So just hold on to that right there. We're going to come back to that in a moment. I want to talk to you about winning in battle, but many people don't want to think about going through trials or facing battles. Now, how many folks, I know a couple of people who just like to fight. I know some people who would like to fight better than, they would rather fight than climb a tree. And they would climb a tree just to get into a fight. I know a couple of guys like that. I won't call their name. They're not here tonight. I know people that just like to argue. They call it debate. No, they just like arguing. Because they want to say that they're smarter than you are. And there's an old adage that says if you have to revert to violence, you've lost the argument. So I just start with it. I just start with violence. That way I ain't got to revert to it. I just start with it. Pastor, we praying for you. You so violent. You just keep praying. Amen. Just think if I didn't have Jesus in my life. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But if you are one of those people who like facing battles, get away from me. Because sometimes you will bring on a battle in people's lives because you are in their life. Anybody ever had Welcome Online and David Turner, if you're watching? That boy got me into more fights. Garland, Vance, Helveston. I got into so many fights just because of being with them boys. Because they just invited. David Turner wasn't but a minute. He was about as big as a minute. And had little man syndrome. Had to prove to everybody he could whoop somebody. They call it now Napoleon syndrome. Amen? Because you remember Napoleon was small. And so I remember the last time that Garland got me into a fight. Some boys was going to jump on him. And he decided that we was going to meet somewhere and we're going to work it out. Meet me at so-and-so. And I went, oh, good Lord. And there's about four of them and two of us. And I said, Garland, you really want to go fight these boys? He said, well, I didn't want to. But you know, I done gave him a word now. I said, well, I'm going to give you another word. We get done here, and if we survive, I'm going to kill you. I'm tired of you getting me involved in fights that I didn't start. Right? But how many did you come to Christ or start going to church and didn't think there would ever be a fight. Oh, no. You know, and if you were saved, and what would you say, Roger? In the late 80s, early 90s, when that doctrine went around that if you were to come to Christ, then everything would be a tiptoe through the tulips, everything would work out, your children would quit smelling bad. You'd wake up in the morning without bad breath, you know, and then you still woke up with bad breath and wondered if you saved. Was that about the time, 70s, y'all remember that doctrine? Yeah, how about y'all, John? Y'all remember that doctrine? You didn't know that doctrine? In the 80s? David said, that was in the 80s at New Orleans. He knew where it started from. But that was a doctrine that went around. That if you come to Christ, and you know, when people would, they would get people saved, said they would say things like, oh, all you need is Jesus. All you need to do is come to church. And if you come to church, your marriage will work out. If you come to church, you'll get a better job. If you come to church, blah, blah, blah. And then they do all that, and it doesn't work. Because just coming to church doesn't fix you. Just coming to church doesn't fix your issues. Just coming to church doesn't fix the things that you want to be right. See, the problem is we've got folks who are messed up trying to fix stuff with the wrong material. Some folks, they are trying to put a whole house together with some silicone or with some icing, a gingerbread house. But you don't understand that the first storm is going to blow it all down. Now listen to me, church. It's not easy to, I think it's my first one, Broderick. It's not easy to accept that we will have to endure trouble. If you're a young Christian, let me just go ahead and tell you. Jesus did not try to sell this Christian life short.
Well, why should I get saved then?
Because you have somebody to walk through it with you. Listen, if I'm gonna have to fight 74 people, I would rather fight them with a couple of old people on my side to at least give me a fighting chance. And some people are trying to fight this life without God, and you're going to lose every time. But if you will learn how to fight with God on your side and let God fight through you and with you, you will win every time. Now listen, I didn't say you're going to win every battle. And let me ask this. How many's ever been in a fight? Come on, lift your hand. I'm not talking about somebody said something to you and you said something back, and y'all called that a fight. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm talking about fist, you know, or some people, hair pulling, biting, picking up a 2x4 to even up the sides. I'm talking about broom handle, mop handle in your car to kind of give you a little edge. You know, that's the way it was when I was. Now, guns and knives. You come out with an M60. You know what I mean? It ain't fair no more. But I'm talking about a real fight. Every fight I've ever been in, you know, we talk real big. Well, there's only going to be two hits. I'm going to hit you and you hit the floor. Well, I've only had 3 or 4 fights like that. I'm kidding. No, most of the fights that I've been in is I threw a punch and they threw one back. Now, there was only 2 fights that I threw a punch and they didn't throw one back. But, you know, she was real young. I'm kidding. But there was only a few that where I got into a fight that I didn't come out with something. You know, I always tell people, if I'm going to fight, I might not whoop you, but you're going to know you've been in a fight. I'm going to run my face into your knuckles where you're going to bleed.
Some of y'all are going to get to that around lunchtime tomorrow.
You're going to know you've been in a fight. But that's what a fight is. That's what a battle is. A massacre is when one side obliterates the other and they walk away unscathed. That's a massacre. Jesus didn't say we were not going to have trouble. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this life, talking to Christians, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So what he's saying is, I've overcome. So we've got to accept, and some people don't do it very easy, that we have to accept that we have to endure trouble. Well, again, why should I come to know Jesus? Well, there's an end result. You know, I still believe that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I still believe. But I also don't believe that you got to live through hell all of your life to get to heaven. Now, we all go, well, I don't understand what I'm doing. Well, what are your choices? What choices have you made? We want to blame everything on the devil that happens bad. And everything good on the Lord. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. But he didn't say every bad thing is because of the devil. Sometimes, the devil does fight us, but sometimes we fight ourselves. Would you just look at your neighbor and smile? And tell them, sometimes you make some bonehead decisions. And when you do make those bonehead decisions, don't be trying to blame it on God. And don't try to blame it on the devil. But we are a nation that doesn't like to take responsibility for ourselves. Because we've raised a generation and a nation. We've raised a generation that has no allegiance to anybody. And life itself is not precious. Good preaching, Pastor. Let me tell you, battles are real. Real. Battles are real. However, for Christians, our victory is assured. Our victory is assured. If we want to win all the time, we got to understand that God is the source of our victory. Now, let me give you a few pointers here. Point number one: God's leadership and guidance causes us to triumph. But you just said that we're no. I didn't say it. I didn't say that it causes us not to go through trouble. It causes us to triumph. I go through trouble, and if I stick to God's leadership, if I stick to God's guidance, I still win. Remember what we talked about? Well, I was going to say Sunday, but it was the 8:30 crowd. I gave six devil-defeating reminders. And one of the things that we have to be reminded of is that everything that happens to us, God can turn it around and use it for our good. Amen? So here's the question that I've got to ask you. Are you being led by Christ? Or are you being led by your flesh? Are you being led by your brain? Well, I just can't figure this thing out. Well, no duh. Some things you can't figure out, you got to pray it through. So are you being led by Christ? We should consider what things may be hindering God's leadership in our lives. You ever notice people that they, you know, you would be amazed at folks who aren't religious, but are very religious during tragedy. I'll be praying for you. Ain't never said a prayer in their life. I'll be praying. I want to go, don't even waste your breath. I'll be praying. I'm sending thoughts your way.
They never got here. All right. If I get too edgy, just come get the mic. Not the Snicker bar. Because here's the other side of that. I'm going to make some folks mad here, but that's all right, because I'm kind of in a fighting mood tonight. God don't change his mind as much as some folks think he does. God's not schizophrenic. He's not wishy-washy. Well, last Sunday night, and listen, I'm telling you, last Sunday night, I don't know what you did, but I went and seen a Christian comedian. It was a great time. I laughed till I couldn't laugh no more. I laughed so hard. Well, you shouldn't be laughing, because I was going through some stuff. You need to be laughing. The Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine. Let me help some of you. Some of you need to learn to laugh at yourself. Because you way too serious. 45 minutes after your funeral, the biggest question is going to be, where are we eating? I don't mean to be disrespectful. You go to any funeral. Oh, they look good. Oh, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Hey, where are we eating? Right? I don't mean to be disrespectful. It is what it is. Now, listen to me, church. We got to understand that God doesn't change his mind as much as some of us think he does. And here's the other side of that is that, you know, and I've said this before, that God doesn't speak to me apparently as much as he does other people. But he also doesn't lie to me as much as he does other people. I mean, don't point at nobody if they're here. But how many of us know those people that God's always talking to? And God's always wrong. Well, God told me to do this. I love the one preacher. He came to me one day in when I was pastored my first church. And he said, the Lord sent me here with a message for your church. And I'm supposed to preach it. And I go, well, tell you what. He was there for Sunday school. I said, let me pray about it and I'll get back with you. I prayed about it. I even thought about doing it. I thought, well, man, I don't want to miss God, you know. Oh, I talked to Sherry about it. You know, listen to me, men. You better check with your wives on some stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't care that the sign said your wife called and said it was all right to buy a Harley. You better call your wife. So I checked with her. She said, baby, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. So I went to that guy, and I said to him, I go, you know what? I said, I really feel like I got a message for the church today, so I don't think I'm gonna let you preach. He looked at his wife. He said, let's go. Then he looked back at me. He said, the Lord told me you wasn't going to let me preach. I said, then why'd you come? If the Lord told you I wasn't going to let you, why'd you ask? People, you know. And I'm just going to tell you. I know that God moves people in and out of some people's lives. Because some people, God sent them into your life for a season, sometimes a reason, and some for a lifetime. We all know that. All right? But the problem is sometimes people are trying to make those people that are there for a season be a lifetime, and you messing up. But let me tell you something. The Lord don't send 75 people into your life each week differently. The question is, listen to me closely. When the Lord gets ready to bless you or move you, he sends a person usually. And when the devil gets ready to trip you up, he will send a person usually. Well, how do we know which one's which? The leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You got to discern who's been sent by whom. Good preaching, Pastor. All right, number two, our faith is the victory. Point number two, our faith is the victory. Now bring up 1 Peter. Our faith is the victory. I'm sorry, not 1 Peter, 1 John. There you go. You know what I'm talking about. There you go. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. Are you a born-again believer? Yep.
then you're victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. All right? Let me break it down a little bit longer. One translation says, for everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcoming the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And I really want to zero in on that our faith, our conquering, overcoming comes from continuing, persistent faith. That's what gives us victory. That our faith in Jesus Christ. How many of us, I'm not a green thumb. I can't grow nothing. Everything at my house is at different stages of dying. When we buy stuff from Home Depot, I just get it and go, I'm sorry, you were chosen. You feel the pot trying to pull away from you. No, I'm sorry. You coming home. I know you're going to die, but it's all right. It's going to be all right. I'm going to give you a fighting chance. I'm going to put a little dirt in there with you, a little water. But I know. That's why we get you from Home Depot, because if you die, we can get a new one. There we go. But what would happen if you planted something and every day you just went out there and pulled it up? Then stuck it back in there. Now, I'm not a real green thumb, but I don't think that's going to amount to anything. Where are my farmers in here? Right? You a farmer? Come on, are you really? What you grow?
Tomatoes, cucumbers.
Bell peppers. Beans, collards.
You grow it all. All right. And flowers. I got one question. I ain't seen no bean, no collard. I ain't seen none of that at my house. They're growing. Right, as soon as they bloom, I don't want you to bring me a mess of them. Amen. So, all right. But when they're growing, you know, she said they're in the process of growing. When you go to check on them, do you go out there and pull them up? She waters them. But what we do in our faith is the victory. We go, God, I believe you're going to do it. No, he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. I knew he wasn't going to do it. I don't see nothing growing, but God, you get into a Holy Ghost filled church, you get up there, they're singing, power in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, yeah. Woo, 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 woo. You get all wound up and you go, yeah, I believe it. And then you go home and you look and you go, nothing's changed. And you get hyped up at church, but nothing changes, so there your faith level goes down low. All right, so all of y'all can't relate to that. But I got something you can relate to. My picture went viral. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I ordered, on purpose, a thing of broccoli. I ate it. I lived. Was it nasty? Absolutely. Did I like it? Not at all. And when I got on the scale the next day, I had lost a pound. Not an ounce. And I said, I put myself through this torturous meal and I didn't lose no weight. I'm done. I tried eating broccoli once. Now we all know that's stupid, isn't it? That's stupid. Look at your neighbor and say, that's stupid. Pastor's not stupid, but that's stupid. You might be stupid, but pastor's not. No, don't say that. See, giving them kids something to say, I can't. All right, so we know that that's ridiculous, but we do the same thing with our faith. Okay, God, I believe. I believe. Oh, no, I don't really believe. Nothing's happening. God, I went to church yesterday. And nothing's better. God. All right, I know why. Because we're not tithing. Okay, let's try that tithing thing. God, I tithed. I went to church. I read a scripture. And I said a prayer over the broccoli when I ate it. I'm doing everything the pastor tells me to do, but it's still not working. You know, but you get around people, and you start really digging into it. Well, this thing ain't working. Let's talk to you about your relationship. About my what? You been doing what the Lord said? Well, Lord, don't talk to me. Do you talk to him? No. Might be why the Lord doesn't talk to you. Well, let's talk about it. Are you doing what you know to do? Well, yeah, I'm coming to church. I didn't ask you if you're coming to church. That's a good thing to do. But are you doing? Well, no. And this is the one I love. I'm doing everything I know to do. Well, have you done this? No. I mean, I want you to picture in your mind in the mornings when I get on the scale and I know what I ate the day before. Because, see, I ate broccoli, when was it, Monday? Yeah, Monday. I was like, how'd you know? You remember? I ate broccoli Monday. And when I got on the scale, I couldn't be upset on Tuesday morning. Because I know on Sunday night after the comedy show, I went to Krispy Kreme. Come on, somebody. And they had this new chocolate-filled, chocolate-covered something. It was good. I had two. And then I had two regulars, just regular glazed. Was it two? And then glazed, just regular glazed filled cream without the chocolate. I think I had two more. And wonder why I didn't lose no weight. But picture in your mind for me jumping up and down on the scale, talking about, you ain't whacking, you ain't whacking. But that's what we do as Christians. Or let me rephrase that. That's what we do as so-called Christians. Because real Christians don't. Real Christians understand that this thing takes time. It took you 74 years to get yourself in that situation. And you want God to get you out overnight. Can he? Absolutely he could. Why don't he? Because let me tell you this statistic. 88, I believe it is, it's up to 88 or 82. It's one of those two. Percent of everybody who hits the lottery is in the same condition they were 18 months later because they didn't learn the principles of how to deal with money. And if you don't learn the principles of how to deal with yourself and deal with the devil, if you don't learn the principles, then it doesn't matter. You can come in here and let everybody lay hands on you, grease you up that you're ready for the deep fryer, but it's not going to do any good because the consistency of your faith is what gives you the victory. Good preaching, Pastor. Look at your neighbor and tell him he ain't mad at nobody. Except for the devil. We need faith to win, and our faith will bring results. Now, I'm gonna say something right here, and I don't care. Y'all go ahead and write me an email. PastorSteve@CrystalRiverCOG. I don't care. Prayer alone. Now, I ain't going there. I ain't tell you go there. Go back. Go back, quick. They're reading it, quick, go back. Stay with me. Prayer alone will not win the battle. Prayer alone. Well, I've been praying. You know, folks, well, Pastor, be praying for me a job. Did you go look for one? Pastor, I'm praying my finances are getting better. Well, did you get on a budget? Pastor, I pray for my marriage. You been in a class? I went to 3. All right, now we laughing because it's funny. Unless it's happening to you. I want you to get this in your spirit. It's real. That's right, Mama Caps. It's real. Well, I've been praying the Lord would... I've been praying the Lord would touch my business. Have you been doing right by your business? Right? I'm praying the Lord would touch my kids. And you've treated your kids like junk for so many years? And then you use the Bible to beat them upside the head? But you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you start using the Bible against kids, because kids will learn the Bible back on you. You think the Lord's pleased with you not cleaning your room? And they'll get back. You think the Lord was pleased with you locking me in the car so you could get a pedicure? So you got to be careful. Let me go on. Come on now, give it to me there, Roger. Prayer alone will not bring results. You need faith in your prayer. Well, Pastor, how do I get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And that second hearing is understanding the Word of God. Well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, I don't understand everything. But when you are saved, when Jesus Christ comes and lives in your heart, you ask Him to open up this book to you and let it begin to speak to you, and He will. How do I know it is? Because He did it to me, and He did it to everybody that comes to know Jesus. You start reading, and all of a sudden you begin to start understanding a few things. And every time I'll read a scripture, sometimes 6-7 times, nothing. But on the 7th or 8th time, oh, that's what that means. Right? Every attack in life is an attack on your faithfulness. Boy, that's strong right there. Ooh, I thought, come on, I got to hurry now. Y'all done got me off. Faith is a practical expression of the confidence that you have in God and His Word. So you will not have to endure anything. I want you to catch this. Write it down. It's on you version. You will not have to endure anything that God has not already empowered you to go through. Well, why do I got to go through this? God's already given you the power to go through it. Go through it. Go through it. I don't want to go through it. Yeah, you little spoiled brat. I mean, how many of your kids want to go to bed at night? Doesn't matter. They fight, sleep, go to bed. Oh, I want to go to bed. Jillian used to just stay. She would be in the back seat going. She would fight it, man. Now, I'm going to give you one. Here we go. I don't have it on there. But faithfulness is usefulness in the kingdom of God. See, there's something about being faithful. Let me talk to someone. Listen, if you are a boss, I don't mean you like I'm a boss. No, I'm a real boss. But there are people who work under you. You know, not your children. Come on, raise your hand. All right, there's if you're a foreman, you're a boss, you're a... All right, I want y'all to look around. All right. Now you ask any one of these people. Not 100%, but a lot of keeping a job keeps showing up. I'm not talking about keep showing up after you've been fired. That's the way to get restraining order on you. Show up on time. Oh, I could preach that for a little while. But that's part of it, right? Showing up. This day and time, I talk to business owners all the time. They go, I just can't get people to show up. Okay. But faithfulness is usefulness. I know, listen, bless her heart, hallelujah. She don't go to this church anymore. I ain't seen her in many, many years. But there was a woman when we first came here that she would sing on the praise team, and she could not sing. I'm telling you, when I say she wasn't a little off, she was. She could not sing. You, John, you better quit. William, you know, you better quit. I love her, though. And you know what? But we were real small. And we just had her mic completely cut off. I know. Don't tell the story. I'm telling the story, son. When I let you preach, you can tell your own story. But here's what it was. She knew we cut it off. She came to me one night. She said, Pastor. I thought, okay, here we go. Ooh. She said, Pastor, I know y'all turned my mic off. I go, yeah, we did, baby. You can't sing. That's hard for me to do, but I will do it. I'm sorry, baby, you can't sing. And she said, well, why do you let me stay up there and make a fool of myself? I go, no. Nobody else knows you ain't singing. I said, but you a worshiper. You a worshiper. And I said, you hear every week. And I would rather have faithfulness and worship it more than I would want to have somebody with talent that ain't faithful. Are you listening to me? You know, there are some of these bosses here that, yeah, maybe they're not, maybe there's somebody who can do the job better, but they're not faithful. It doesn't matter how good you can do the job, if you're not faithful, you're not going to get the promotion. You're not going to get the job done. You got to be faithful. And it's the same thing with God. See, sometimes you just got to keep showing up. When the devil says, oh, I got him now, just show up. Oh, they won't be at church tonight. Bless God, I'm coming up. They won't worship me tonight. You better just sit back and watch me worship, because that's what I do. I am faithful. How will you develop if you don't have battles to conquer? You need to call yourself the winner before the battle begins. That's what it means to call those things that aren't as though they were. Romans 4:17. Are you kidding me? I got three more. I got time? I got 10. I got like 7 minutes is what I see. We got all night. Yeah, and the rest of the people hate you, whoever said that. You got all night. That's because you ain't getting up to go to work in the morning. Yeah, he is. We got all night. Oh, I got a family. Let me move on. I could have been done with number three. Number three, many times we confuse knowing about God with knowing him personally. I know about God. Do you know him personally? You know? A lot of people know Rodney. Rodney's a great guy. He teaches our men's Sunday school class. He's on staff here at the church. He's the real boss. But some of you don't know that when we go to a seafood place, he orders a hamburger. And when we go to Mexican, he orders a hamburger. And then if we go to a hamburger place, he orders seafood. Some of y'all don't know what Rodney looks like without a beard. He cut his beard one day, and I didn't know who he was. So, dude, what you doing with keys? I'm just saying, we all know people, but we don't know them, you know? There are some of you I know by face. There are some of you that I know you when I see you, but I don't know your name. And you've told me 6 times, but I still don't know your name, because there's a lot of going on. You've been here 6 months, but you're still the new guy. Come on, somebody, you know. But I'll get there. It just takes me a little while. But then there are others that I know. You know, I've known Roger Cash for 23 years. But in the last 4 years, I've got to know him better than I once did, right? All right? And I could go person by person of whom I know. You know? So we know the Lord, but do you know him personally? Do you know him through intimate experience and a personal relationship? The word should become a part of you. That is when your victory is assured, is when the Word of God becomes you. Right? When you begin to just quote word to the devil and the devil don't even know what to do. All right, number four. The Lord is strong and mighty in battle. Psalms 24, 1 through 10 says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, that's who may do it. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. Who seek your face, Selah? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong in battle and mighty in power. So might, what is might? Might is the anointing for battle. Who is the Lord? He is strong and mighty. He wants to give you might. He wants to give you the anointing for the battle you're going through right now. Hallelujah. See, the anointing is not just a one time. The anointing is for whatever you're going through at present. Right? You cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the anointing. You can't do it. And when the anointing of wisdom, the anointing of understanding, the anointing of counsel, the anointing of power, the anointing of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord are upon you, burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed. You ever know something? You just know it. You know, there was a couple that was in our church, and I have no idea how I knew it. There was a couple in our church, and he was seeking a leadership position here in our church, not a pastor, but he was looking for a leadership position. And they came and they talked to me, and I thought that they were qualified to do it. And I looked at him, and I'm telling you, it was just the Holy Spirit. And I go, I think you're the right people to do this, what God's called you to do, but I think you're a smoker. And some of you are like, well, you don't let smokers? I let smokers do a lot of things. Will smoking send you to hell? I don't know. But I do know if you get to heaven, you're going to have to go to hell to get a light. And when you get to heaven, you're going to smell like you've been in hell. But anyway, moving on. I had no idea. I had no idea. And the guy just went down. But I said, but, you know, I believe that if God wants you to do this, you can, because if you're going to be in my leadership, you're not going to smoke, dip, chew, or run around with women who do. All right. That's Ronnie. All right. So, but anyway, so the Lord gave him the anointing to quit, right? The anointing is for whatever you need at that point in time. Might is the power to get the job done. We already have it within us. Might and wisdom work together. People recognized two attitudes or two attributes of Jesus, his wisdom and his might. He has it. Wisdom is the divine knowledge you receive when you do not know what to do. I don't even know. Matter of fact, I remember talking to this guy, and I goes, I don't even know where that came from. I don't know how I know. And he goes, well, Pastor, I don't know how you know either. I wash my hands, my face. Every time I smoke, I brush my teeth, wash my face, wash my hands. I never had smelled it. I just knew. How did you know? Because I'm so godly. No. Trust me. I know me, man. But I just knew. The Lord. It was the Lord. It was the anointing. The anointing gives you wisdom. Divine knowledge you receive when you do not know what to do. Might is also the power to put wisdom to work. Well, I could talk about that for a little while. I got to finish. Number five, there is a switch that turns on might, or that turns might on in our lives. What is it? I'm going to give it to you next week. No, I'm not. Here it is. Might is released through the knowledge of the Word of God. That's where you receive it. I need might to fight the battle. You got to know the Word of God. You know, listen, and I'll be the first to tell you that I was better years ago at giving you verse, chapter, and book where things were found. What happened? Old age. No. I'll tell you what happened. This right here. Anybody else with me? This right here. Because it is so easy to just look it up that you don't have to remember where it is. Now, I still have it in my spirit. Right? That's where you need to be. I don't care if you can't give me chapter and verse, because when you use it on the devil, when you use it in your fight, the fight is not, the enemy's not going to go, well, exactly what verse and chapter is that? When I hit you with a right hook, you're not going to go, well, that was the wrong technique. You're going to know you've been hit, right? And when you use the word of God, I'm not disregarding. I'm just saying the smartphones has made most of us dumber. However, though, you've got to get this in you. Because it's the switch that cuts on the might of God. As you begin to pray, and all of a sudden you realize you're quoting scripture. I remember several years ago, during our maximum assault we have every month, guys, there was a dude, man, he was walking around, and I was laying in one of the aisles, and I heard this guy just praying, and I thought, my God. I mean, am I the only one that sometimes you get caught up in other people's prayer? You be praying like, Lord, I just love, what? Lord, I just think, man, that boy praying. And this old boy was praying, and it was eloquent. And so much so, because I knew the boy, I knew he couldn't pray like that. So I got up and looked at him. You know what he was doing? He was praying one of the Psalms. I was like, come on, somebody. See, you need the Word of God to fight for you, guys. You need the Word of God to fight. When you don't know, you need the Holy Ghost. That's a whole other message. You could use the Holy Ghost. But you got the Word right here. You got the Word right here. You got to use the Word. The consistency of your faith is what's going to bring you victory. Might is released through the knowledge of the Word of God. It is the revealed knowledge that comes directly from God. In other words, it is what Christendom would call a rhema word. What is a rhema word, Pastor? This written word is logos. But rhema, when it becomes alive in you. I hadn't been saved 6 months when this scripture here, John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. That's when that scripture came alive in my life, and it became a rhema word to me. You need some rhema word in you. But it's not going to come by osmosis. You got to read it to get it. The gates of hell cannot win against revelation knowledge. Let me ask you this question. I'm done. 7:30. It is in Panama City, Florida. Are you willing to spend enough time with the Word until you get revelation knowledge? It's not easy. You ever see people do stuff and go, man, I wish I could do that? My older brother could walk on his hands. And I thought, I wish I could do that. But I'm not willing to knock myself in the head several times trying to do it. You know, some of us wish we could do things, but we're not willing to do what it needs to be done. You know, I wish I could have a good marriage. You can. Work. Work, 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 work. It's work, man. It's work. Well, but if we really love each other, it ought to just happen organically. Organically explode. Why? Because you crazy and the person you married's crazy. Y'all too. You rub him all you want to on his head. He's crazy too. You understand what I'm saying, though? I mean, you know, and they're newlyweds still. Well, it's been a year. Shut up. 2 years? Wow, and you haven't killed him yet? Wow, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's work. Ask anybody. How long y'all been married, Penny? Notice I didn't ask him. I didn't want him to have to think about it. 54 years. Come on, somebody. Come on. He said they started young. And they did start young. But has it been a little work? Say it again.
A lot of work.
I wanted y'all to catch that because she said, oh, yeah. He goes, a lot of work. Right? Give and take. And if you the man, you give. And if you the woman, you take. That's the give and take. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But it's work. All right, listen. Do not listen to me closely. I don't have time for counseling tonight. Do not raise your hand. How many thought about killing your spouse? How many of you did kill your spouse? Do not answer. Don't raise your voice. I have a moral obligation to report you. Because everybody goes through that. It's work. But so is spending time with the Lord. Amen. Spending time with the Lord is work. So stand to your feet. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you thanks. Bless the Lord. That little lick he just played there on the piano, it sounded like it was that song, Falling in Love with You. Hearts, I don't even know if I should pray. Lord God, Lord, I wished I could just declare and decree and it be true that we will not have any more fights. We will not have any more battles from this day forward, but I know that's a lie. We will fight. We will battle. But I know that you have given us the victory. Even our faith. So God, most things that happen to us happen trying to steal our faith. So I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would put an urgency in us to get into your word, so that we will have the right utensils to fight this battle.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.